filled a need that no one else was filling when that started out. So that's been a really good thing. Written Prayer and Fasting, Moving with the Spirit to Renew Our Minds, Also Bodies and Churches. He's a graduate of Lincoln Christian Seminary, Cincinnati Christian University, and also Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Spoken in 37 states, 19 foreign countries. Was one of the founding members of Promise Keepers that some of you may remember fondly. Also serves on the board of directors for Christian Arabic Services and David Vaughn Consulting. Been married to Karen for 57 years, and they have two married daughters and four grandchildren. And I know you're going to enjoy what he has to say about this missions partner that we really value. So if you will, let's welcome David Rodekup this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to be back here at Taylorville. I want to mention that Dick Walmsley and I started out as freshmen at Lincoln back in 1928. It was a long time ago. I'm kidding. It wasn't. Come on, everyone. Come on. We've been very close friends. We met as freshmen at freshman orientation. And there are a number of us who created a friendship and have just been really good friends for decades. Appreciated their hospitality last night. And also, I have to mention that Diana and Greg Vokes as well. At House Edelweiss with TCM, we crossed over many, many weeks working together over there. It was just wonderful to see them again and to receive the invitation to come and just be with you and be able to share with you about TCM and the ministry that's there and the incredible things that the Lord is doing right now. A lot of people think that I live in Indianapolis because that's our U.S. headquarters. I actually live in Florence, Kentucky, right across the river from Cincinnati, and can work a long distance, of course, even though TCM is in Indianapolis. I am married to Karen, 58 years, our family, two girls and grandchildren, so forth. I have five grandchildren now. I would really like to have about 20, to be honest. If they're absolutely fantastic. But really, thank you for the warm invitation. So excited today to tell you about this ministry we're involved in, TCM. Of course, is the name. I know that some of you have been to House Edelweiss over in Austria, and this church, just thank you from the bottom of our hearts, has supported TCM for decades, and the pragmatic fuel of your dollars and your prayers are really what keep us open and keep us moving forward, and I just genuinely, on behalf of our president, Tony Twist, want to say thank you for your help and your support through all of these years. You are the reason we're able to make that happen. Going all the way back to 1956, a brother named Gene Doolin had a mission in Toronto, Canada, which he then moved to Vienna, Austria. And the mission that he established was working with the people in Soviet satellite bloc countries who did not have the food and the medicine and the training, the evangelism that they really needed for the church. So he established TCM. This is like our 65th year. And when the wall came down in 1989, it changed all of everything we were doing. We were providing all of these things. After the wall came down, everyone could get pretty much what they needed. And we said to the people in Europe, you know, should we just pack up and go home now? And they said, you know, the one thing you're bringing us that we desperately need is training in depth for the Christian leaders of our churches. And if you could do that even more with more intensity, that's what we need. So our president, Tony Twist, just together with our board of directors, began the organization that is now teaching Christian leaders, teaching Christian ministers. And our whole purpose is to take a man or a woman who would really like to go deeper and more extensive into being trained to lead the church. That's all we do. I'm all in favor of a really good nursing program and a business program. Those are very important. And we bless all of those who are doing that. We have just one laser focus, and that is helping men and women learn how to lead the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, to see people come to Christ, be baptized, be discipled into some level of maturity, hoping to lead them to become leaders themselves on down the line. So that's our whole purpose and our whole function. We are a graduate school. We offer three levels of master's degrees. We thought about offering a doctorate degree, but the head of the doctoral program at University of Bucharest is one of our students and now one of our professors, and he said to us, rather than spending all that money and doing all of that, just filter the students who want a doctoral program to us, and we will take care of that, which we found is actually working very well. So that's a little bit about our background and what we're doing. Again, our mission, simply to train men and women who are in ministry. Right now, our average student is 34 years old. Most of them are married. Almost everyone who comes to us, they're either preachers, church staff, many elders from churches in Europe come and work with us, deacons, lay men and women, lay people who just want to go deeper, be better servants in the church. 64% of our students are male, 36% are female in terms of a breakdown. So we don't actually offer a bachelor's degree. You know, we are a graduate program. And again, our focus is just helping them do everything they can to be better leaders. We are very, very ethnically mixed. We have students from 44 different countries, 2,200 students at this point. And in terms of our students, we don't have a campus where we invite students to come for 9 months. You know, we offer classes and modules. And so students in all the countries overseas will come to us for like 8 days. And they come and they take 1 3-hour class during that class session. We offer 4 classes per session. They take 1 class. What they do is they will go online, choose their degree, start with their first class, and they sign up. And then if I'm the professor, I send them the syllabus, and they do about 90 hours of work. It's reading, papers, analyses, whatever the class would call for. At the end of that time, then, they would come to House Edelweiss, where I would be there, and I would have them in class for 6 days. We get 26 hours of instruction in those 6 days, and then they finish all of their work and have a 3-hour class. So that's how the situation operates. In addition to that, we do what we call going in country. So when I arrived over there, they shared with me that I would be going to other countries and teaching. What happens is, 2 years ago or so, I flew to a town in Russia that is noted for its really cold, Siberia. You know, they said, "You're going to Siberia this coming summer." And I said, is this my hazing? You know, as a new faculty member, I flew to Siberia in July. It was like 85, 95 degrees when I got there. I got off the plane and it was burning hot. And I said to my class, just kidding with them, I thought this was the land of snow and ice. And they said, it is. You know, they said, we have about 2.5 months growing season. And then they said, last winter, we had like 5 or 6 days in a row. It was 40 degrees below zero for 5 days. And I said, how do you exist in that? And they said, you just learn. You know, you learn to make it happen. A group of Russians, they were very, very welcoming, very cordial. And let me just mention that the war has really affected us deeply. Right now, the largest number of students we have are from Africa. And before that, before Africa opened up to us, our largest number of students were from Russia, and the second largest number were from Ukraine. And so you can see that it really... for 2 summers, we could not get students out of Russia or Ukraine because they would not give them a visa to get out during the war. It's a little better now, still not back to where we were. But and we had some real tense times and some times of prayer and discussion with students from those 2 countries to bring them together and to try to work together. And the Lord has blessed that in a pretty dramatic way. We don't take students out of their country and have them come for 3 or 4 years and stay with us in Vienna, because in my 14 years at Cincinnati Christian University, we would bring students in from all different countries, sometimes 22, 23 countries, different students a year, and they would come and be with us and stay the 3 years for their master's degree. And then the problem we had was it was very, very hard then to have them go back to their home country. For them to come, we would provide all of their tuition, and we would say, part of our agreement is that when you finish, you go back home and you work in your home country, and it was very hard to get them to go back. So instead of doing that, we asked students to meet us in Vienna at our campus, or the faculty goes to the foreign countries, and we don't take them out of their country for a number of years. They're there so that when they finish their degree, they already know the language, they already know the culture, they're there at home, and it's turned out to be very, very successful. a part of what the Lord has led us to do. I'd like to take a look at some additional slides here that would be maybe beneficial for you. The students do 80, 90 hours online, and then I see them for 26 hours face-to-face over a number of days. I'll show you pictures of that, and then they finish the rest of their work. And next slide then. We want to encourage our students in every way possible, you know, to go as deeply as they can so that they can go back and train leaders to be in their churches. One of the really big areas of dearth that we're in a lot of our churches in Europe were simply no leadership training at all. And we're really trying to turn that around so that lay people can really help with the building and development of churches. And next. Now, this is a picture of the jewel of our campus. This is Haus Edelweiss over on our campus in Vienna. We're actually 18 kilometers southwest of Vienna in a town called Heiligenkreuz. That's German for Holy Cross, and there's a huge monastery, a Cistercian monastery, right down the street from us, which we've developed a great relationship with. This was a hunting lodge built back in the 1800s. It was used for years and years. It belonged to a nephew of the King of Austria back in those days. In World War I, World War II, very interesting, very same pattern. First of all, the Germans took this over as a command center. And then the Russians came in and took it from the Germans, and then the United States used it, and then it was returned back to family members of the original owner. World War II, the exact same pattern happened. It was the Germans, then the Russians, then the Americans. After World War II, they found relatives again and gave it back to them. It sat empty for a number of years, maybe 8 or 9, 10 years. And when Gene Doolin was looking for a headquarters, he found this building. It was totally dilapidated, and teams from the United States came over for an entire year, one team after another, and were able to bring it back to its full beauty and functioning. We have our dining rooms in here, a lot of offices. The top two floors are all apartments for our full-time staff who live over there. We also have this on our campus. It looks like a swimming pool. It's not a swimming pool. It's the largest baptistry in Europe. That's what we use it for. A gentleman came to us and said, my business is building swimming pools, and I'd like to donate a swimming pool to TCM. And we said, well, that's wonderful for you to do. Let me tell you, we need so many things other than a swimming pool right now, you know, all kinds of things. And he said, well, that's kind of what I wanted to do. And we said, well, okay, then we can use a swimming pool. That's fine. So I love to see our kids. It can be like 65 degrees, you know. A whole lot, and the water is really chilly, and it is no barrier to them whatsoever. Early in the morning before class, between classes, we have a three-hour break in the afternoon in terms of our class day, and even late in the evenings, they love the pool. And we have a number of students from other denominations, Presbyterians, Methodists, and we don't push baptism onto them, but we do study the book of Acts, and we go through the book of Acts, and many of them will come and say, okay, now, Are you telling me that I need to be immersed? And we say to them, you know, we're actually not telling you anything ourselves. You know, you read the book of Acts. You see what's going on here. And many of them, then we wind up immersing before they go home, you know, just to try to complete that as much as possible. There are a couple of other pictures of our campus. I thought this is a beautiful stained glass window that's decades old that is in our dining room there in Haus Edelweiss. And then a couple of other pictures. We have a pond right in the middle of campus that kids love to gather around and fellowship together. Another picture of the pond. And then we have a, go ahead and move to the next slide if you would. Then we want to start just a brief discussion about short-term workers. And a short-term worker is a person who will come to Haus Edelweiss for, it's a 12-day commitment because there's a travel day on either end. So you're at the house for 10 days. Fly in on a Monday. We just ask you to rest and kind of recuperate on Monday. Tuesday, we spend all day down in Vienna. We take you downtown to Vienna for a whole day. It's really, Vienna is a world-class city. A lot of fun. We just take you on a tour of Vienna. Wednesday, orientation. Thursday, the kids come in. And Friday, we kick off our class sessions. And wonderful to have them come. I know that it was last summer, our president told us that TCM saved over $400,000 in salary by the wonderful Americans who come over and work each of the class sessions that we have. I found out also today that there is a reservation for Taylorville Christian Church for this coming summer. And there are 6 open slots for volunteers to go over and be short-term workers. So if you would like to be part of that team this coming summer, see Diana Vokes, and she will help you figure all of that out. Let me show you some of the things that short-term workers do, though. They work in the kitchen. They work in maintenance, housekeeping, yard and garden, library, all of that. And yes, there's some pictures here of our wonderful workers doing what we've asked them to do. This is a kitchen where they seem to have a lot of fun in there. I tell you, it's hard work in the kitchen. It's a long day, but a couple of other pictures there just of our Americans. We can flip through those. This is a short-term workers team. Kind of, you get the idea. These folks are from Phoenix and from Washington, Cincinnati, from all over. They all fly together and are there with us. I want to talk to you just about the heart of what we do. This is our classroom training. We have classrooms. We have smart boards. Our IT people keep us up on the very latest things. At my age, let me just tell you this, I'm really trying. I'm really trying on the smart boards and things. And I found out it's just a series of moving and clicking, you know, just kind of like learning a new language in some ways. But pictures of our classes, this is one of our classrooms, our professors. And we start out 8:45 every morning and go until noon, take a 3-hour break for the kids to, a lot of them just do their work during that time, go from 3 to 6. And then in the evenings, we have many activities and things that they're involved in as well. So this will kind of give you, next 3 or 4 slides here, give you a picture of what our classrooms work like and some of the different. Here's an aberrant professor they slipped in there, troublemaker over there for sure. And I want to take just a minute and tell you about this class. All of this class is from Istanbul, Turkey. They contacted us a number of years ago and said opportunity for our leaders to get advanced Christian training, there's not much here, obviously. And can we start sending our students there? So they sent a whole cohort of 17 students, a couple of others in there, and came over. And it was just really interesting getting to know the kids from Turkey and where they were coming from. They're very, very, once you get to know them, they're very friendly. They're very, very warm. In America and many countries, we have what we call an 18-inch personal space. If you and I are talking together, we're normally about 1.5 feet apart. That's a comfortable space for us. The Turks have never heard of that. They have not. They love to come up and get close, and you'll turn around, and the guy's face is right here talking to you, really. But they're wonderful. When that first group came, they came and they very much stayed to themselves. First occurrence there, they didn't know anybody, they didn't know how the system worked, and they kind of hung together. So I invaded their group one night at dinner and sat at their dinner table and kind of quizzed them a little bit. And then I said to them, do you have any pictures of your family on your phone? And they said, well, we do. And I said, I'd love to see your families as well. Can you show me your pictures? So they all dialed up pictures of their husbands and wives and kids, and it was amazing how just that one act totally melted any wall between us or any hesitancy, and just kept reaching out to them. One of the men in the previous picture, one of these guys is a youth minister in Turkey, and we have a number of churches there. On Saturday nights, once a month, on Saturday nights, he has 1,000 high school kids in a rally at a high school over there. It's absolutely amazing what he's doing and what's happening in Turkey right now for sure. Turkey is a very liberal Muslim country, and they don't want to alienate the U.S. by hurting Christians of any kind. So you're allowed to start churches, you're allowed to have worship services, but the government just messes with you all the time. They'll arrest one of the guys and take him in for questioning and various things like that. When we were there last summer, we found out that 10 missionaries, actually they were all from Campus Crusade, were invited. They went over there probably about 10 years ago and started planting churches, and it really caught on. And there are many evangelical churches right now in Turkey due to what Campus Crusade was doing over there. Well, last summer, the government expelled 8 of the 10 who were over there. They were just having too much success. But they didn't expel everyone because they didn't want to appear to be against Christianity and against the U.S. and various things. So they worked through all kinds of barriers. But they're wonderful, wonderful people, and we love them and are really stoking their fire, you know, for evangelism there. I want to talk to you for just a moment about in our week. The kids come on Thursday and they leave on Wednesday. And Sunday morning we have a worship service. And Greg Vokes was always a big, big help on this because he was a great guitarist. We have about an hour and a half worship service, and we'll ask the Russian students if they will lead worship. And we'll ask the Czech students if they'll do the communion service that day. And when Georgia was there last summer, the country of Georgia, and dance is a big part of their Christian worship service. And a couple of their ladies did a dance, a worship dance for us. And so the whole service, a really fun thing. The song, The Old Rugged Cross, the tune of that song is universal. Every country you sing that song in, it's the same tune we sing. And to stand in our morning worship service all around you and hear four different languages singing The Old Rugged Cross, it's really an amazing, amazing experience for sure. That's why you need to come next summer and be with us over there. We would really love to have you. Another shot of our worship service as well. We can go ahead. This is a wonderful event. On Sunday night, Sundays, we have worship, have a wonderful lunch together, go to a small city near us called Baden and spend the afternoon there. There's a concert over there every Sunday afternoon. And then we come back to the campus, and at night, we do a campfire. And it's up on a hill, just very close to the campus there. And if you'll go back to that slide, if you can. And in this campfire, they sing songs, they read scripture to one another, they give personal testimonies, share prayer needs and so forth. And it's just one of the highlights of the whole time being there. When I started 10 years ago with TCM, we had this meeting that you're seeing here, and we took s'mores, some more stuff up there to let them do s'mores. And so we did them for a couple of years, and the Europeans didn't like them, really. One of the few things I found, they're making a big mistake. They didn't like them. They said they were too sweet, but they did like the marshmallows. So now we just take several large bags of large marshmallows up there, and they'll put four or five of them on a stick, and we say, you know, leave them in there until they get a little bit of a crusty thing going on, and we have a lot of fun with them about that. This is a picture of that Sunday night event that we do every one of our class sessions also. And moving on then to this next area, this is a prayer circle. When we get done with our classes, we're done Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We ask at 4:15 that we have this prayer circle, and we get everyone in a circle, and we bless them, and we know they're going to get on planes and buses and trains, so we open the cafeteria and we offer a great big, we just give each one of them a sack, and there are drinks and sandwiches and chips and cookies and so forth, and we let them make a lunch, and then we send them away. Before we do that, though, we just have a prayer circle, and we, as their shepherds and their professors and teachers, bless them. And have a wonderful, wonderful prayer time, which ends our session together. Then moving on to that, this is a picture of one of our graduating classes, and just look in the faces of these people. I will tell you, they're many, many wonderful, talented, gifted, motivated servants of Christ in this group from many, many different countries. Also, I want to show you this next picture and just tell you a couple of stories. This is three generations of preachers in Tallinn, Estonia. The gentleman, which would be on your left, the older gentleman, is the father. The man in the middle is his son, and the man on the end is the grandson and son of his father and grandfather there. They all three have graduated from TCM. They're all three preaching, starting churches in Estonia. But I want to tell you about Jacob, the youngest man. He was the youth minister at his father's church. So the man in the middle started a church. They're running several hundred, which is a large church in Estonia. And he was the youth minister. And he went through some of our classes, and he went to his father and said, "Dad, I have an idea. I want to go downtown across from our national capital." Just think Washington, D.C. Across the street from our national capital, there's a hall I found there where I can start a church. And I want to start a church for 20-somethings. And it's going to look completely different than our church. You know, we're going to have musical instruments, like rock instruments. We're going to have lights that come on and go off and make patterns all over the ceiling. And there's something called a fog machine. We're going to try to get a fog machine, and this is going to be a service just for 20-somethings. So I went to the elders of the church, and the elders said, you know what? This all sounds really, really, makes us nervous to hear what you're talking about, but let's do it. Let's go for it. We'll support you 100%. So Jacob went to downtown of their capital and started this church that got up to about 600 20-somethings. Y'all, there are no Protestant churches in Estonia that run 600. Then he started multi-siting, and they started two branches of their church in different parts of the town. There were church leaders literally from all over Europe coming to Estonia to see what was happening there, why so many 20-somethings were accepting Christ and being baptized. And they said to him, where did you get this idea? And he said, well, I'm in a graduate program in Austria called TCM, and in my classes, they taught us how to do this. They taught us how to make that happen. And you all, that just goes on in country after country, place after place, due to the wonderful men and women we have teaching on our staff. We could go ahead and move on then. This is a picture when we have a class session. They start in March, have individual ones. I think we have 12 this coming summer. This is what a class session looks like. We offer four classes. At the same time, you come and you just pick one topic and you work all the way through that topic. I wish that I could point out the young man to you who's in this crowd here, but we have students from the Stans countries, many of them, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. We have Pakistani students come as well. And in Pakistan, it's a little better, but in some of those extreme former Soviet bloc countries, it's against the law to preach or to baptize someone or to start a church. And our students from there are all our leaders, the people who come to us, and they basically have said, you know, we're not going to let the government edict stop us from what we really feel like we need to do. So they do have churches. They'll start a church in a home, and they move. They have about 6 or 7 different places, and every week they move the church to another location so they won't be detected because a lot of the neighbors around will pick up on what's going on. I had a student from one of those countries, and we talked about the great importance of small groups and discipling. Discipling according to Jesus' model, that kind of an idea. And so I taught the class exactly what to do, step at a time, put a group of men together or a group of women together, and just begin studying the Bible together every week, fellowshipping, supporting each other, encouraging, calling each other, and so forth. And so he went home and was trying to figure out how to do this, given the fact that he could go to jail if he were caught doing this. So here's what he came up with. He had 6 guys, 7 including himself. He shared with them, he wanted them to look at a city bus route that had a route that it did. And he wanted each of them to get on at a different bus stop all along the route for 6 stops. Park your car, wait at that stop, get on the bus. Bring your thermos of coffee or tea, and bring donuts, cookies, muffins, whatever you want to bring. And so the bus would move along and pick up each one of these 6 guys, and they would all go to the back of the bus, and they would kind of get around in a circle back there, and they'd have their coffee and donuts, and then they would pray together, and then they'd do their Bible study, have their sharing time together, and just a wonderful time. He said that it took 2 hours. It took 2 complete loops of the bus to finish their meeting. He said, the only thing we can't do is we can't sing. You know, we would draw too much attention. And they came back and told us about that. And I thought, man, if you really want to make it happen, you can make it happen, you know. You can make things happen even in the hardest of circumstances. Another wonderful thing in teaching the concept of discipling to the men and women I work with is going through it and letting them know exactly what's involved. I had one student who really loved the idea, thought he could really do it at his home. Went back about maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month after we had class. He sent me several pictures, and it was 5 guys around a table with coffee and donuts. They had their white notebooks and their Bibles, and he had gone back home and started his first discipling group there in his church, you know. And just to hear things like that and see the fact that when we're sharing these ideas and these exhortations with our students, they are going back home and they're really making something happen for the gospel. It's very, very encouraging to see that. We'll go ahead and move on here to the fact that we're starting a United States cohort. We have opened TCM to the U.S. So if you had any interest at all in taking a master's degree in organizational leadership, we use that term because many of the countries we work with would not accept a master of degree in ministry. So we just use the term organizational leadership, which means a master's degree in how to lead the church, basically. So that's going on. There are folders back on the table there if you'd like to pick one of those up. And we'll go ahead and move to the next slide then. So let me just ask, people say to me, what is it that we can do? How can we help TCM continue this ministry? And to the next slide, if we could. Here are three things we'd like to ask you to do. First of all, if you could do the most important thing, which is praying for us, if you could remember us just in your prayers briefly every day for our students, our faculty, our staff, for the work that's going on in Austria and other places around, we'd appreciate that. Your prayers are very, very critical to our success and to seeing the Lord move the way we're asking Him to move. Secondly, in this church, thank you so much. You have been financial supporters of us, I mean literally, for years. It's impossible for us to do what we're doing without your help in that area. So on behalf of our president, I do want to just say a heartfelt thank you. We recognize what you do for us in helping us keep our ministry alive. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The third thing is you can volunteer. And so if you can come this coming summer, please come and be with us. We'd love to have you. We ask the churches, help your people get to the Vienna airport. And from the Vienna airport, we provide all housing and food and everything all the time you're there. Many people come and work with us, and then they tack a 5 or 6 or 7 day trip to Italy or Germany or Switzerland, all those countries border Austria. And please feel free to do that. That would be fine as well. I hope that in talking about what we're doing, you've gotten a little bit of an overview of who we are, what our heart is for the gospel. Our whole mission is training leaders. And just wanted to close briefly with this one final story, which I think is probably the most exciting thing going on in the history. And this sounds kind of extreme, doesn't it? The history of TCM. I don't know of another open door more exciting than what I'm about to share with you. Africa has opened up to us. The Lord just sent people to us and said, we desperately need what you're doing, a conservative, serious leadership training ministry. Our people desperately need it. So we're in three different countries now in Africa. Sierra Leone in the northern part of Africa. There's a gentleman there who's been there preaching and working about 40 years. His name is Shadonke Johnson, and he's called the Billy Graham of Sierra Leone. Over 600,000 people have accepted Christ through his 40-year ministry there. He's got a school and just doing an incredible job. He went to elementary school, high school, college with a neighbor of his who is his absolute very best friend in the whole world, Shadonke's friend. Well, the friend of Shadonke runs for president of Sierra Leone this last cycle and was elected president of the whole country. I mean, you know, God's just doing an amazing thing here. So he calls Shadonke and says, as president, here's one of the first things I'm going to do. I'm going to build a major university with all kinds of majors, and we're going to reach out to 7 or 8 other African countries and invite them to use this school. He said, I want to make sure that this is a Christian university with chapel services, with a whole section of the university dealing with religion, with Christianity, with training leaders for churches. And he said, I have no idea what I'm doing, so Shadonke, will you just help me put all this together? Well, Shadonke said, I am not an educator either. I'm an evangelist, but I know somebody who might be able to help. So he called our president and said, will you fly over here and meet with the dean and the president, and let's just talk about this. And so they have invited us to organize, develop curriculum, and put together all of this for this new, exciting university being established in Sierra Leone. And, y'all, the implications of this for especially North and Central Africa, it's mind-blowing. to think that we could pour into the creation of this school that would train men and women for leadership ministry in even different countries there in Africa. So we would really right in the middle of that right now. So if you can pray for us about that especially, we would really appreciate it. Well, thank you again. I hope our time together has been helpful to you in knowing what we do as your mission dollars come to us, knowing what we do, what our path is, where we're headed in the future. And once again, your prayers for us, that's the most important thing. More important than anything else are your prayers. Thank you again for your financial help. Come and see us in Austria. We'd love to have you for sure. And thank you for the warm welcome today to be here with you. I'd like to close, if I can, just in a word of prayer. Okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry that you've called us to, for the wonderful opportunities and open doors that you give to us on a regular basis. And Father, I just personally want to thank you for every member of this church, for the staff and the elders, wonderful members, for their faithful partnership with us and support all through the years. I pray your richest blessing to be here on this church and on their ministry. And Father, on our partnership as we labor together to help win the world for Jesus Christ. We love you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank Dave for being with us today. And if you want more information, he's got a table out in the foyer. And I know he'd be glad to talk with you a little bit about TCM and let you know just how you can be part of that as well. We're going to continue our service. And as we prepare for communion, let's stand and we'll worship together.